Blog Talk Radio.
I love this, and I get paid for it.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Shoppers, we have a lost boy in the front of a store. A lost boy in the front of the store. Security camera 3, security camera 3. CSM, pick up line 2, CSM line 2, please. All right, welcome to another edition of the Lost Prevention Zone, the LP Zone. On this 8th day of June 2011, thanks for stopping by today and joining us here in the midday afternoon. We're glad that you are with us, the LP Zone. Get in the zone. I'm your host for the show, Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International, and we're here today to talk all about retail security, loss prevention, mall security, retail, big box stores, shopping centers, shopping malls, boutiques. If it has to do with, you know, buying and selling, we're talking about it here on the LP Zone. All right, we're just kind of pumped up today. Got a lot going on as always. The LP Zone, you can hear it every week, same time, same place, same station. Totally different than our weekly radio show on private security. Completely different. Here on the LP Zone, we're talking about you, baby. We're talking about LP agents. We're talking about floor walkers and surveillance agents. We're talking about retail security. And, of course, how could I forget? Mall cops, talking about you. We're talking about you, baby, right here on the LP Zone. Every week, join us. If you're working in the loss prevention, retail security field of private security, you don't want to miss this show. Tell your coworkers because we'll be trading a lot of information. We'll be doing a lot of training, and we'll be talking about the retail security industry every week. Right here on our brand new show, the LP Zone. All right, cool, huh? Today, we're talking about slip and slide. We'll be talking about credit card skimmers and how they steal millions of dollars every month. It's a billion-dollar industry that's just got the banks and the credit card companies and security investigators scurrying for ways to thwart the thefts and to stop and prevent them, and we'll be talking about several mechanisms that can be used today to deter slip and slide skimmers right here on the LP Zone. You know, it's been a busy month already. We're only 8 days into June already. It's been a busy, busy month. We just got through the Memorial Day weekend. I hope that you've had a great weekend. Last week, I had the opportunity to be at the Rappahannock Police Academy in Fredericksburg, Virginia, taking a couple of courses, going back there next week for a few days. And then I'll be hitting the road, going on a road trip. We'll be in the Southwest, also along the West Coast in California. We'll be in Mid-America and going to Hartford, Connecticut as well. Along the way, we hope to meet as many private security officers, loss prevention agents as possible. We'll be talking with many, doing some interviews and some ride-alongs and some other things happening during our little journey. And unlike your politician friends, unlike those in government, unlike those out on the road campaigning, I won't be spending one nickel, not one dime, of your money. No, no. Wish I could. Wish I had access to all the billions that America spends every year on the politicians' journeys across this continent and around the world, but I just don't. So I'll be spending my money, my jingle, my cash. I'll be putting up my cash, going on the road to see how security is doing across the country. And we have plans on going to other parts of the world, and hopefully we'll be able to meet many security professionals along the way. You know, we talked Sunday on our radio program about the weather, and it just so happens, I don't know why, maybe it's the time of day or maybe it's just me, but storms, funny thing, but storms follow me around. And it seems like every time we broadcast, there's a storm looming nearby. And today I'm on the road, as usual, traveling. And here in the Mid-South, it's 93 degrees. And guess what? Mid-afternoon, we've got some thunderstorms moving in. This just seems to be an everyday occurrence when I broadcast. I don't know why, but we are broadcasting live and in person right now. This is not a pre-recorded show, so there is always that possibility, though slim, hopefully slim, that we may be kicked off the air during one of these quick mid-afternoon thunderstorms. Just want to give you the heads up, as was the case on Sunday, in the middle of the broadcast, we experienced some heavy downpours and thunderstorms. But that's summer. We're in summer, so that's what happens. But I was saying on Sunday, you know, as private security and loss prevention agents, mall cops, whatever you're doing in the field of private security or public safety, we have to be prepared for all weather-related incidents. This time of year, especially in the northeast areas and out in the west coast, we're very prone to brownouts. Brownouts are almost like blackouts, but brownouts are when you have spotted outages. And that happens frequently because of the high usage of power, because of storms. You could easily find yourself in the middle of a darkened store or shopping mall. I have experienced that a number of times when I was in the loss prevention industry for 8.5 years, working in New England with several large big box stores, and in Tennessee as a district LPM. This happens, and so we have to be on our toes and alert for what's coming our way weather-wise so that we can prepare for any type of emergencies that might happen, blackouts, brownouts. Of course, we also are faced this time of year with tornadoes and hurricanes and even straight-line winds that can really do a lot of damage. You know, you think we have an alert for a severe thunderstorm with some wind, but we're not expecting anything major, and all of a sudden the winds kick up to 60, 70, even 90 miles an hour. It's not a tornado. It's not a hurricane, but it is a straight-line wind, and it can do a lot of heavy damage, take down a lot of trees, poles, lines, and even tear off roofs of buildings. So, you know, in this industry, we have to be prepared for all of those things. So hopefully, if you're in charge of safety inspections for your company, your retail store, your location, you are prepared. You have plenty of flashlights. Emergency lighting is good. Maybe a generator, something that will allow you to have light should the power go off and should you be stuck in the dark. Because during that time, it can be very scary. I've experienced it where we've had thefts, where we've had other situations happen. Criminals are opportunists. They love to take advantage of situations. So be prepared. Be alert. We're in the heavy storm season right now. On top of the power outages, the brownouts, the blackouts, it's a possibility. So I just want to give you the heads up. We're going to be getting into our slip and slide credit card skimmers segment of our training of our show coming up in just a few minutes. Got an email here from Bill. Bill says he is glad to see the show on the air. He's been looking for something like this for some time. He is a LP agent for Kmart in, looks like, New England, yes. Rhode Island, so that's New England, and he appreciates us taking the time to put this together because it's a very informative show, and he's looking forward to the shows coming up each week and the topics that we'll be talking about. So thanks for emailing us, and if you would like to email us while we're on the air, please do so at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. You can submit your news, any type of training events, any happenings in your neck of the woods, and you can also announce promotions and things of that nature as well. You can also follow us on our main website, www.privateofficer.com. If you have not been there yet, you are missing out because there are 300 and something pages just crammed full of information. Private Officer International is just that. We are a professional organization, association, with members across the U.S. and in 26 countries and growing every day. And we are all-inclusive. We have lots of different benefits, services, and products that we offer the private security and the public safety industry. Even if you are a law enforcement officer, a campus police officer, a municipal officer, we have something that will assist you as well. So go to our website, www.privateofficer.com, and be sure, got to do it, please, pass it along to your colleagues, your cohorts, and to all of those in the private security and law enforcement industry, www.privateofficer.com. Now, from our main page, you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We also have our own forums that you can hook up. You can link right there from our main website, our homepage, or go to privateofficer.ning.com. You can also follow our daily news blogs. We have two of them right there from our homepage. You can link into our news. You can even sign up for news alerts right there on the homepage, as well as link in with our radio show, and everything else that we do is based right there off from that one website, www.privateofficer.com. Like I said, there are a lot of things going on right there on the website. Changes frequently, and you won't want to miss out. We also announce a lot of upcoming programs, training, and various other things relating to the private security industry right there from our homepage at www, you know, all those W's, privateofficer.com. Just remember that, privateofficer.com. In our last couple of shows, we've had a lot of great response. In our Sunday show, we actually had a show on Sunday and Monday where we talked about the seasons of crime. And yes, crime does have seasons, believe it or not, just like everything else. And if you're working in loss prevention or retail security at the mall or an investigator, you know that there are peaks in the theft. There are peaks of frauds, and it all has something to do with the seasons, the weather, the time of year. So it was a great show. If you missed it, you can listen to it, of course, after this show is over. It's available to you 24 hours, 7 days a week, as are all of our radio programs. They're all put there in a demand segment, on demand. You just, you know, at your convenience, listen anytime. Right now in our private officer training division, which is our academy, is called the Public Safety Training Institute. And we also have just recently acquired a college, a university. It is a accredited university. And right now they are in the midst of enhancing and updating some curriculum. It'll be available shortly. But we are currently offering, for this month only, for the month of June, scholarships to our private officer members. If you're a member of POI, you can apply for a scholarship for one of our certification courses, whether it be retail loss prevention management, whether it be industrial security, whether it be CAPP 1 or 2. That's the Certified Asset Protection Professional 1 or 2. It is equivalent, and in fact, it is above the ASIS CPP designation. So if you would like to apply for the scholarship, just send an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we will send you out a little application. Very quickly, want to mention, if you missed our show on Sunday, that we recently, our organization, conducted a six-year study of the most dangerous metropolitan cities for private security and the most dangerous states. And very quickly, if you missed that, I want to mention that New York City, Miami, Florida, Houston, and Atlanta, Georgia were the top five cities. Chicago, Dallas, Philadelphia, Baltimore, San Juan, Phoenix, Indianapolis, Detroit, Memphis, and East St. Louis filled the bottom half of the top 15 locations. That's probably no big surprise. If you work in any type of security, uniform, plainclothes, loss prevention, or whatever, and you work in any major city, you know you're in a dangerous situation. In New York, over this last 6 years, 15 security officers were killed. Miami, 14. L.A., 11, Houston, 11, Atlanta, 9, Chicago, 8, Dallas, 7, Philadelphia, Baltimore, San Juan, 6, Phoenix, Indianapolis, Detroit, Memphis, and East St. Louis, 4. The most dangerous states was California had 27 deaths, Texas, 25, New York, 23, Florida, 21, Illinois, 13, Maryland and Ohio, 10, Alabama, 9, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Virginia, Georgia, and Tennessee was 8, Louisiana, 7, Michigan, Arizona, and North Carolina, 6. So I'm sure it's really no newsflash. If you are in the private security industry, you know it is getting dangerous, even if you are in loss prevention. It used to be when I was in LP that only occasionally we would have an aggressive shoplifter, maybe 1 in 10. We might have to fight with them. Maybe 1 in every, 500, we had a weapon pulled on us. Now it looks like 1 in 10 has weapons, and 1 in 5 is fighting. Everybody is armed. We've had several LP agents stabbed just in the last week. We've had a number of guns pulled, so you know the dangers are increasing. And right now on our forums at privateofficer.ning, we actually have a question. Right there, we're taking a poll. Do you think that loss prevention agents should be armed? It's something that, you know, we're checking into. I believe that with this day and age, we probably need to arm our security personnel in the retail environment, whether you're shopping mall security or loss prevention. Hey, if you want to call in and add your voice to this conversation, you can do it. Our phone number is area code 1-347-426-3807. I know that most of you are probably at the job, probably out working, or you're down at the beach or on the golf course. But if you're listening and you want to call in, area code 347-426-3807. Be sure to join our survey on our website at www.privateofficer.com. Should loss prevention agents be armed? Should retail security officers be armed? And let us know what you think about that subject, and we'll be asking you other questions along the way to get your opinion. We want to hear from you. And we'll be right back.
It up by a Saturday night. You can hit me loud enough to make me think it's alright. I try to keep it loose, but I light up too tight. Taking all the pressure off of you tonight. You gotta push it in.
Security camera, aisle 3. Security camera, aisle 3.
Management, you have a call, line 2. Management, line 2. All right, welcome back to the LP Zone. We're here. We're in the zone. We hope that you are today. We're talking all about retail security, loss prevention, big box stores, and shopping malls, not only here in the U.S. across our great country, but also around the world. Every country. I was reading some information the other day about England and all of the gang theft problems that they're having, and also in Canada. So it's not just, you know, a problem here in the homeland. We have the same thing going on in other countries. So we have listeners not only here in the U.S. but around the world. So, you know, this is interchangeable information that we're sharing with you today. A couple of other high notes that I do want to mention. If you are interested in owning a private security business, but you've never been able to afford it, you didn't know how to start it, you didn't know what was needed, you didn't know how to obtain your license, you didn't know what insurance was necessary, so on and so forth, I've got something great to offer you. Our sister company, Private Officer Security Group, is now offering 3 free franchises nationwide before they open up their company coming up in a few months. If you are interested in owning your own private security agency, send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Tell us where you are, what city you're located, what state, and why you're interested, and your name will be considered to receive one of those free franchises. No gimmicks. We've had a couple of folks think that this was some type of joke or a gimmick. It's not. Absolutely free, folks. This is a grand thing for you. They are giving away 3 franchises to help some people out there enjoy the reality of business ownership. Just send an email to adminassist at privateofficer.com, give your city and state, and a short, brief paragraph of why you want to get into the private security business. Once again, if you'd like to call in and share your thoughts on any of these subjects or something else in the security industry, you can call today at area code 1-347-426-3807. We will also be sponsoring a conference call, a loss prevention training conference call in the upcoming weeks. Be sure to be looking for that. If you are not part of our email list, go to our website at privateofficer.com and sign up today to receive those important email news blasts, because in those emails, you're going to get all sorts of pertinent information to you and to your industry, not only the news, officer down notifications, training updates, but a lot of other timely information about what's going on, where, when, and how. So go to our website at privateofficer.com today, sign up, and get those email blasts sent to you. We are just having a great time here this summer, and we hope that you are too. I hope that you'll get a chance to enjoy some R&R. Maybe you already did this past Memorial Day weekend. But remember, you know, make sure that you continue to stay on your toes, even though this is not technically the most busiest season for loss prevention. It still can get busy, and you never know what's going to happen. In fact, many times shoplifters really enjoy the off season. They like to be in the store when there's not very many shoppers. They have many more places to hide without people bumping into them. So be aware of that. Very quickly, want to mention a couple of loss prevention news items. Also want to mention that Deputy Sheriff Kurt Wyman of the Oneida County Sheriff's Office, New York, died yesterday in the line of duty from gunshot wounds. The officer had responded to a domestic call, and evidently the suspect opened fire on him and unfortunately killed him. A deputy sheriff also in Dixon County, Tennessee, which is west of Nashville, about 30 miles, was also killed when he stopped his patrol vehicle at the scene of what he thought was just a everyday car accident. And the driver of the vehicle got out and instantly opened fire on the deputy and killed him. The situation that he had pulled up on, unbeknownst to him, was actually a hot dispute, domestic dispute, in progress. And he didn't know it. And unfortunately, that deputy was killed in the line of duty as well. That was in Dixon, Tennessee, just west of Nashville. And his name, and let me get it for you real quick, his name was Deputy Keith Beller. Deputy Keith Beller. In the loss prevention news, a couple of hot items I want to bring up real quick. We told you that several LP agents have had incidents of weapons pulled on them and also of being stabbed recently. A Kmart security agent in Salinas, California, apprehended a 30-year-old man who was using a small child to carry the merchandise over the threshold of the door, of the exit door, and then he would take the merchandise and throw it in the car and come back. Richard Flores, 30 years old, was arrested for burglary, and he was hiding the merchandise in a large duffel bag. You know, this is not unheard of. We've seen this many times, unfortunately. You know, adults using children in a conspiracy or as a tool to carry out the stolen goods. So always, it used to be many years ago, you would see a mother or a mother, father, and child, and you would not think much of it because they, you know, shoplifters don't shoplift with their families. Well, that was years ago. That has changed. Families that shoplift together stay together. And obviously we're seeing a lot more cases of juveniles being used to do the actual theft or carry out the merchandise through the threshold or the door, and thinking that they can't be arrested, they can't be charged. And many parents think they can't be arrested. They always, you know, put it off on the child, put it off on the kid. Oh, I didn't know he was doing that. That's why it's great that we have video cameras and recorders in the stores now that record every piece of action. Everything is recorded these days, not like in the old days when I used to walk the floor without any camera or the catwalk, and it was just my word against theirs. Things have changed. Athens, Georgia, a volunteer fire chief who was also the loss prevention agent for the Kmart store was stabbed after he observed a shoplifting in progress. Jason Stills, the loss prevention agent, was stabbed multiple times by the shoplifter. He was stabbed in the chest. James Cornelius McElroy, 31, has been charged with aggravated assault, theft, giving false information to police, and obstruction of justice after he was caught by police a short time later. The security officer is in good condition. We don't know the exact status. It just said recently, as of today, that he was in good condition. And that could mean, you know, it could mean anything, really. But hopefully he pulls through and everything is turns out good for him. Cleveland, Ohio police said that a shoplifter at the Richmond Town Square faked a heart attack after he was taken into custody for shoplifting from three stores. The suspect, who was 41, stole a number of items from the Foot Locker, from Finish Line, and several other stores when he was arrested and charged with possession of criminal tools, obstruction of official business, and theft. He decided that all of a sudden he was having a heart attack, and you know, the police had to call an ambulance. They had to take him to the hospital, had to be checked out, go through the whole song and dance, even though they knew that he was faking it. How many times has that happened to you? It does happen. Unfortunately, people will use any ploy. They'll use anything to get out of going to jail. And most shoplifters know that that's where they're headed once the police show up. So they will just fake the heart attack, asthma attack, can't breathe, oh, I got this. You know, you weren't having asthma, you weren't having a heart attack 10 minutes ago when you were shoplifting $500 for the stuff. Crazy. Upper Marion, Pennsylvania, police say five people were involved in the shoplifting there at the King of Prussia Mall in Upper Marion, Montgomery County. And when they were stopped by security, they fled. They brought police into a high-speed chase and eventually crashed. Police say that a number of the shoplifters were injured after they hit a building. It would have been easier if they just gave up. Hit a building. Police said that they had to be rescued out of their car, and now they are in jail. A shoplifter in Homewood, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, suburbia, threatened a TJ Maxx security officer this week with pepper spray after the suspect was caught shoplifting. Brian Travis was nabbed by police and charged with theft, trespassing, and battery in connection with that incident. And again, that is an armed incident. It might not be a gun, it might not be a knife, but it's still considered an armed incident. And as you see by this news article, it was also an assault. New York City says that organized crime between the metro areas of New York and New Jersey is just out of hand. Shoplifters are coming in. Organized thefts are occurring. They are taking $4,000, $8,000, $7,000, $9,000 of merchandise at a time. According to the New Jersey Retail Merchants Association, We're not talking about shoplifting teenagers stealing a pack of gum. This is organized rings that are very sophisticated that is hitting New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, Philadelphia metro areas. Indeed, according to the Retail Association, the South Jersey, Philadelphia region is among the nation's top 10 areas of organized retail theft activity. According to the National Retail Federation, this is also on the increase. They are very easily accessible right off several main interstates, and the rings continue to operate, stealing huge amounts of merchandise. Mentor, Ohio, a man there was arrested and charged with theft of $800 worth of cookware from Macy's. An LP agent spotted Dino De Niro, 49, stealing a set of cookware. Now, I understand that cookware can be sold on eBay as quickly as anything else. But really, cookware? When I was in loss prevention, we had this guy who was going around the various JCPenney's stealing a vacuum cleaner. And we finally caught the guy, and I said, why, of all the merchandise that you could take, why, in heaven's name, tell me, explain to me, why did you choose the vacuum cleaner? And he bluntly told me, A, it's a compact item already in the box. You put it under your arm and you walk out. It's not very big. It's not bulky. You're not going to have to worry about hiding it or putting it into a bag. You just pick up the box and you walk out. The vacuum cleaner was almost $300 at that time, and he said he sold it for about $60, 60 bucks. It was valued at $300. He was selling them 60 bucks a pop, and they were going faster than he could steal them. As you know, many shoplifters also come prepared with lists from their friends, their neighborhood. They steal particular items, specific items for people who are wanting them at five-finger discounts. And obviously, you know, that's what was happening. So he was stealing vacuum cleaners, and yeah, it's a much-needed item. It's something that you could probably dispose of quickly and make some cash, whether it's eBay or at the flea market or out of the trunk of your vehicle on the corner. So cookware makes sense, I guess. It's something that everyone needs, everyone uses. And, you know, if you've got an $800 pair of pans for sale for 50 bucks, who wouldn't buy it? They don't care where it came from. They don't care how the shoplifter got his hands on it. They just care about the fantastic bargain, 50 bucks, 60 bucks, even 100 bucks on an $800 set of pans. What a bargain. What a bargain. So people don't care. They don't think about, you know, where it came from. And if they do think, they just put it out of their minds and, you know, make the purchase. So it's crazy, but that's how it goes. There's a lot of great loss prevention news on our daily news blog at www.privateofficer.com. Click on the breaking news link. It is updated several times a day, and you won't want to miss it. And we'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go away. Security camera, aisle four. Customer service to the front desk. Customer service, front desk, please.
CSM, you have a call on line 6. CSM, line 6, please.
All right, welcome back to another live edition broadcasting live here from the Southeast U.S. of A. You're listening to a live edition of LP Zone Loss Prevention right here on the radio, and we're glad that you've joined us, whether you're a loss prevention agent, a shopping center security officer, a mall cop, or somewhere in between. Maybe you're a retail manager. You will not want to miss our weekly broadcast because this show is all about you. Today, we're talking about slip and slide, credit card skimmers. This may be a relatively new term to you. You may have never heard it or very little knowledge of it. Maybe it's something you heard briefly on a news item in passing. But let me tell you, this is something that you will need to focus some of your time on in education. Whether you're in security or you're in management, whether you're a retail store manager or a mall cop, if you are working around retail, even if you're a convenience store operator, you need to know what skimmers are and how they are used. Credit card fraud is a wide-ranging term, really, for theft and fraud committed using a credit card or any similar mechanism of payment. A fraudulent source of funds in any transaction using a credit card or a debit card. However, and this also relates to identity theft. However, there's a new game in town. It used to be that people used to just steal the credit card out of the mailbox, or they would steal it from some lady that they've mugged, or they would steal it some other way. But now they don't have to because there's a new method. According to the Federal Trade Commission, the cost of credit card fraud in 2009 was 8 cents per $100 of transactions. What does that equate to? Think about it. 8 cents per $100 worth of transactions. If you are a Walmart and each day you are doing $100, $200, $300,000 of business daily, 8 cents times 200,000, that's a lot of money, folks. And times it by 7 days, 30 days a month, 365 days a year, we're talking about millions of dollars. In the UK, in 2006, they estimated $830 million was lost to retailers because of credit card fraud. Credit card fraud is easy these days to initiate, easy these days to get over on you. I mean, face it, how many retailers, how many cashiers, how many clerks, how many people in the stores are really checking the credit card, checking the signatures, asking for identification, few and far between, especially when it's a peak shopping season or peak shopping hours? They're not checking. Slip and slide your card, put the access code in, put in your PIN number, and you're good to go. A new segment of the credit card fraud that has come along in recent years is called skimming. Skimming is the theft of your credit card information, not your card, but your information used in any legitimate transaction. In other words, I go into, and this has happened to me about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I was in a Nashville, Tennessee restaurant and taking some friends out to dinner, used my credit card, and the next day, charges showed up in Michigan. Yeah, in Michigan. And I said, well, I told my bank, I've got my credit card. I haven't given my PIN out to anyone. But what happened was a dishonest employee scanned my credit card information and with a skimmer and then passed it on to a relative in Michigan, just outside of Detroit, and they ordered clothes online that next day and some other products by using a skimmer. There are two methods of skimming. There's probably more, but there are two main methods of skimming. Number one, there are portable skimmers. They can be as small as the palm of your hands. And what they do is they slide your credit card through the skimmer. That skimmer picks up the data, the information, and the magnetic strip on the back of the credit card. That information obtained, it stores it in the skimmer. The skimmer has a hard drive, and it stores that information. Once that information is obtained, they don't need your passcode. They don't need your PIN number to order products online. All they need is your security code, which they get when they do the skimming. So there, all of your information you thought was secure as long as you held tightly to your credit card or your debit card, but it's not. Portable skimmers are everywhere. I saw one recently that was about the size of a thumb drive, a little bit larger, and it just basically your credit card or your debit card is scanned through there, slide through there, and it picks up all that information on your magnetic strip, and then they download it to their computer, and away it goes. Who knows who gets it then? It travels. That information can travel across the country and around the world. That information is sold in markets like you wouldn't believe. There's been a couple of undercover investigations by the media recently. I believe it was 2020, 60 Minutes. They traveled to several countries, including Nigeria and several other countries, and it's unbelievable how that information is sold within minutes of being stolen. But anyways, a skimmer is something that is a portable data collection instrument, and it is used to take the information from your magnetic strip. Now, that's the portable. There's also another type that is commonly used at ATMs. It looks just like the slide on an ATM where you go to put your credit card into the machine. It looks just like that. The only problem is it's not. It's actually an attachment that someone has come along and attached to the legitimate ATM, and now when you pull up to use your credit card or your debit card, the skimming device now steals all of your information. It collects all of the information on your debit card, on your credit card. And to make things even worse for you, many times, the perpetrators also have hidden pinhole cameras. Those are very small cameras, about the size of a dime, that can be hidden above the lights that's over the ATM, in the envelopes that they have there sometimes available for you to make your deposits, behind other cover so that it's recording not only your transaction, but it's recording your PIN number. So now they have your data from the magnetic strip. They also have your PIN number. Now they can replicate. They can make another credit card, debit card, just like yours. They have your PIN number. Now they can go and start taking your money out, tapping your account until it's dry. Instances of skimming across the U.S., especially at ATMs that are out of the way or in areas that you would not suspect, are on the rise. Once they collect their information, once they collect, 8 hours, 12 hours, or a weekend of information, they come back, probably in the cover of night, and they undo their little skimmer device and they carried away, and now they've got, you know, tens of hundreds of information, people's credit card and debit card stored into their device. Like I said, oftentimes they're used with in conjunction with miniature cameras that are inconspicuous, that you're not even going to see it. You won't even, you know, there's, it's not like a big camera pointing at you. It's one that you're not even going to recognize. And it will read your PIN number at the same time that the skimmer is collecting your data from the magnetic strips. Another technique that's used to skim is what's called an overlay. And what that is the overlay matches up to the buttons of the legitimate keypad on the ATM. And when you press that overlay, it transmits the information wirelessly to a device that has been installed there on the ATM to skim your data, your information. And recently, federal authorities have found this very sophisticated product showing up inside banks, inside airports, at locations that you would not think that these criminals would go in to install their devices. But they do somehow manage to get the devices installed into the ATMs and these very public buildings and businesses without being detected. Overall, skimming is very, very difficult to detect by typical, you know, cardholders. But I will give you a couple of examples. You can detect a problem at an exterior ATM if you pull up and you put your debit card into the machine, and that little entry port, you know, the little plastic port that you put your card into, seems to be loose, or it seems to be different design than it was yesterday when you used the ATM, or maybe it appears to be a little bit too tight when you put the card in. Anything of that type may trigger your suspicions. And if it does, don't use the ATM. Leave and find another one. Because like I said, skimming is very difficult for the average person to detect. It's very easy for criminals to mine your data, to collect your data at these ATMs throughout the country without you knowing it. And, you know, the other thing that we've seen is that many customers will use the same ATM over and over again. And if the criminal is aware of that, they are aware that rich people or well-to-do people are using one particular ATM in their neighborhood more than others, that's where they set up. Because they know that if you live in a well-to-do neighborhood and you're using your local ATM, chances are good that they're going to be able to collect some good accounts that are pretty heavy, pretty stocked full of cash, and they're going to really have a good day at work. So if you're living in a well-to-do neighborhood, advice from us, security advice, is don't use the same ATM frequently. Even though it may be a little bit inconvenient for you to go elsewhere, spread the wealth around, so to speak. Go to multiple ATMs so that you're not being, you know, picked on, so that you're not being targeted, because people will target you, obviously. And this will be one way to hopefully not be a victim of the skimming fraud that's happening out there. There are very sophisticated methods of data collection, data mining, it's called. And, you know, even merchants oftentimes overlook it and they don't suspect it. But so there are two primary methods of skimming your debit or credit card that you have to be prepared for. Number one, as we said, restaurants. When you go out to the restaurant, you know, no one uses cash these days, but it might be a lot more safer if you did. Unfortunately, there are many dishonest people out in the world today, and some dishonest folks get a job at the restaurant, at the retailer, at the hotel, just for the purpose of skimming credit cards. So when you put your credit card, you know, in that little holder and give it to the waitress, and they take it back to the register way back on the other side of the restaurant where you can't see, or sometimes even in another room, you have no clue what's going on. You have no clue how honest these people are or how dishonest they might be. Have no clue. You might as well just give them your wallet full of cash, because you don't know what they're stealing and what they're not stealing. Unfortunately, hotels, restaurants, and retail outlets, you know, are areas where you have to use great caution, because skimmers, which, like I said, are just palm size and smaller, can quickly capture your information, quickly, you know, grab the information from the magnetic strip. And when you use the ATM, be careful. If they are loose, if the entry, credit card entry into there is loose, be careful. Go use another ATM. Well, we're all out of time. I hope that that was some useful information to you. Again, join us next week on the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention Zone, where we're talking all about security, retail security, shopping mall security, loss prevention, store detective, shoplifting, credit card fraud. Hey, next week we're going to be talking about internal theft, and we're going to do a series on internal theft. But join us right here on the LP Zone. Thanks for being with us today. We hope that you have a great rest of the week and be blessed in all that you do.